Okay, we're back again, studying the Book of Proverbs. Thank you for joining me. I hope this has been an enlightening and invigorating and encouraging study. Proverbs is, of course, a wisdom book, and that, right off the bat, makes it frightening for folks because it's, you know, it's a little mysterious here and there and interpretive at times. But what we're doing is we're going through Proverbs, you know, chapter by chapter. And what we've done so far is we've gone through 9 chapters. And then the last time we took a break and decided to do something kind of fun. And that is we collected all the verses together throughout the whole book, all 31 chapters, through the whole book that have the phrase better than in them, or even a couple that say, you know, more than, or more hope, or, you know. So they're all better than verses is what they are. And there's 25 of them. And in our last lesson, we looked at those 25, not all of them, but we looked at a few of them and give examples of what those look like. And now we're heading into chapter 10, and chapter 10 represents a break in the book. And this break, as I said last time, you can actually see it right in verse 1 of chapter 10, where it says the Proverbs of Solomon. Well, wait a minute. Weren't the last 9 chapters the Proverbs of Solomon? Yes, they were. But this indicates a shift on the part of Solomon in his delivery method. The first 9 chapters, he was speaking to young men. And the first 7 chapters are actually 5 divisions of age groups in those young men. And as we looked at that in the previous lessons, go back and check that out to get more detail. But now at chapter 10, he's changing focus, and now a couple of things have happened. One is he has gone away from an actual specific audience to just wide open. He's just speaking to everyone who will listen, everyone who will read and hear. And so that's one thing that's changed. Another thing that's changed is someone has counted that there are about 500 plus proverbs, proverbial statements, if you like, in the book of Proverbs. You know that in the book of Kings, 1 Kings, which records, you know, Solomon's history, it is said that he wrote over 3,000 proverbs. 3,000 proverbs and songs and things like that. So we have about 500 of them in the book of Proverbs, it is said. Of course, add to that Ecclesiastes, and a little bit of the Psalms, which he wrote. A little bit, not very much. But what I'm saying is that we can expect a little different approach to wisdom in this middle section of the book, which we're entering into now. And that middle section is essentially 10 through 21 or 22. So, you know, about 12 or 13 chapters is going to be very different. And these 12 or 13 chapters is where most people get bogged down in Proverbs because it's very granular. In other words, it's just one verse after another that very, very seldom have any cohesiveness. They're just statements, you know, machine gun, rat-tat-tat. And that makes it difficult for a lot of people. So what we're going to do is we're going to approach this middle section, these 12 or 13 chapters, we're going to approach this in a topical fashion for the most part. And what we're going to do is we're going to see five topics, five groupings that we can put these 12 or 13 chapters, all the verses in these 12 or 13 chapters, into these five categories. And these categories are industry, or if you like, stewardship. I'll just say stewardship. So stewardship is one, righteousness is another, speech, very important, is another, the home, you know, marriage and kids is the fourth one, and then the last one is leadership. And there's some very powerful things that Solomon says about leadership in these 12 or 13 chapters. And so that's how we'll approach this section. Okay? And what I thought to do is we'll take the next four chapters, 10 through 13, so 10, 11, 12, and 13. And what we're going to do is we're going to skim over those, and we'll lift out of those some of those five topics, those five categories. Industry slash stewardship, righteousness, and speech. And these are very, very important things in the book of Proverbs. Okay, so let's do that. So over to chapter 10. And what I want to do is, let's look at this idea of stewardship or industry. I originally called it industry because it encompasses your work ethic, what you do for a living. If you own a store of your own, a business of your own, that's actually in here in this book. What to do about that? How to run that? You know, in a moral way, in a righteous way. What you do with your money? How you view your money? If you are generous with your money? That sort of thing. That would all fall into the category of industry, or again, you could call it stewardship. And then the righteousness, so we're going to do industry, righteousness, and speech in chapters 10 through 13. And righteousness is really, you know, as believers in Jesus Christ, we don't interpret the word righteousness the same way the rest of the world does. Because Scripture doesn't tell us to. It has us interpret it as a righteousness outside of ourselves, applied to ourselves, imputed to ourselves. You can see that in the book of Romans. You can see that in Galatians. You can see that in many places in the New Testament. But what we'll do here in the Old Testament is we'll look at righteousness as describing how you interact with other people. How you interact, how you treat others, how fair and honest you are with others. It will include those sort of things. And then speech. That one doesn't need much explanation. The Bible has a lot to say about your speech. And if you want to really be shocked, flip over to the book of James. James is almost at the end of your Bible, very close to the end. And there's something very, it's just a few books from the end. There's something very interesting in the book of James on the subject of speech. And I want to show you this before we look at the Proverbs take on speech. And you can bet that the actual person, James, who was the half-brother of the Lord, you can bet that he knew the book of Proverbs. And he, you know, restated what he knew in his own words in his own book. So let's look at this. Chapter 3 of the book of James. He says, verse 5, the tongue is a small part of the body, and yet it boasts of great things. Behold, how great a forest is set aflame by such a small fire. Verse 6, it's the world of iniquity, and it is the peace of our members which defiles our entire body. Look at verse 8. No one can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil and full of deadly poison. Wow. Well, I wouldn't say that all is exaggeration. I wouldn't even say it's hyperbole. But what it is James is making a very powerful point. And that is, and he'll even say this in another place, you know, we sin in many ways, he'll say, but we sin most easily with our mouths. The mouth, as described in many places in Proverbs, is really illustrated as the way in which we sin the easiest. Okay? It's like the weak link in our spirituality, if you like. It's the, inflate a balloon, you know, blow up a balloon with your breath, and if you blow it up too much, it'll pop. But where is it going to pop? It's going to pop at the weakest point in the rubber, in the elastic. And that's kind of how speech is. Speech is where sin often leaks out of our soul. It just does. And we'll see that in the book of Proverbs. Okay? So chapter 10. And what we'll do is we'll take these three topics, industry, righteousness, and speech, and we'll skim across these four chapters and see where those come up. All right? So, for example, industry or stewardship. We'll see some in chapter 10. We'll see some in chapter 11. We'll see some in chapter 12. And we'll see some in chapter 13. Okay? So here we go. So chapter 10, verse 2. Ill-gotten gains do not profit, but righteousness delivers from death. Now, I believe the next verse actually has some correlations. Let's read that one too. Although we can't find a lot, again, I'll say it again, in chapters 10 through 21 or 22, you can't find a lot of continuity, but there's a little bit. And I don't think you have to force it. I think it's there. But verse 3, the Lord will not allow the righteous to hunger, but he will thrust aside the craving of the wicked. I think those two are related. Because if you take those two together, what Solomon is saying is there's some people who don't want to earn their resources, their money or their possessions. They don't want to get ahead in life in illegitimate ways. Look at how it begins. Ill-gotten gains. Okay? He says, there are some people who want to do that, but that is not profitable, and if you want a good life, don't do it. That's what he says. He says, but righteousness delivers from death. And then the next verse, the Lord won't allow the righteous to hunger. He's saying, look, you can't say that God's not providing for you, so you must go out and rob a bank or, you know, start a life of crime. He's saying, that's not necessary. The Lord will provide for you. God will provide for you. He will not allow the righteous to hunger. Now again, this righteousness being spoken of in Proverbs is not, it's not a New Testament righteousness necessarily. I think in some places it is. But here we're just talking about, you know, how you treat other people. And so we're in the subject of industry or stewardship, and we see one verse already where God says, look, this is how you should view money. This is how you should view resources. Get them in the godly way. You know, the Bible never denounces wealth. It never denounces the rich individual. No, there's nothing wrong with being wealthy. But there is something wrong with making wealth your God. And that's actually being spoken of here. He's saying, look, don't go after things so fervent, emotionally and desperately that you do bad things to get it. Do you see? So that's an item under the category of industry or stewardship. Let's look at verses 4 and 5. Chapter 10 still. Poor is he who works with a negligent hand, but the hand of the diligent makes rich. He who gathers in summer is a son who acts wisely, but he who sleeps in harvest, which is the same thing as saying summer in Israel, is a son who acts shamefully. You see what he's saying? Now he's talking about laziness. This is still under the category of industry or stewardship. He's saying, look, the Lord supports, he said that in verse 3, the Lord supports the people who want to approach wealth in the right way, in a godly way, but he's not going to support the lazy person. Do you see? Do you see how that works? Proverbs is an extremely practical book. Extremely practical. Okay. Well, let's jump down to verse 16 of chapter 10. And let's see something interesting here. Verse 16 of chapter 10, "The wages of the righteous is life, the income of the wicked, punishment." And just to get a little more context, let's go down to 29, verse 29. "The way of the Lord is a stronghold to the upright, but ruined the workers of iniquity." Do you see what he's saying? He's saying there is two kinds of wealth. There are two kinds of wealth that you should be concerned about. One, of course, is material wealth, but the other is spiritual wealth. Let's look back up at 16 again. "The wages of the righteous," wages of the righteous is life, "the income of the wicked, punishment." Do you see? He's saying there is a wealth or a security that is not physical but spiritual. There is a spiritual security. Does that make sense? So that's another example of how Proverbs addresses industry or stewardship. And let's go over to verse 22 of chapter 10. Still in chapter 10, verse 22. And this one's pretty plain. "It is the blessing of the Lord that makes rich, and he adds no sorrow to it." Do you see? He's on the same theme still. Solomon says, look, do it the right way. There'll be no grief. There'll be no regret if you accumulate riches, however that's defined for you, money, cars, house, you know, whatever it is. If you get them the right way, there'll be no regret. That's what he's saying. Let's look at one more before we go to chapter 11. Verse 26 of chapter 10, "Like vinegar to the teeth and smoke to the eyes, so is the lazy one to those who send him." Wow, that's pretty convicting. He's saying the lazy worker offends his employer. The one who's been hired to do a job and then deliberately does not do it to the utmost of his ability, who doesn't do it in a commendable, honest way, the employer knows that. The employer is going to find that out. The employer is going to know, and he's going to be offended. You're going to injure him by acting that way as an employee. And I think a lot of us, maybe most or all of us, Christians or non-Christians, can be exhorted by this. We need to think about this. We really do. And there's a lot of other scriptures in the Bible that tag onto this. All right, now chapter 11. Still industry or stewardship. Chapter 11, and I really like this section. There's a whole section here of several verses that talk about the self-employed individual. So chapter 11, verse 1, and we'll go through verse 6. Okay? Chapter 11, verse 1. "A false balance is an abomination to the Lord, but a just weight is his delight. When pride comes, there then comes dishonor, but with the humble is wisdom. The integrity of the upright will guide them, but the falseness of the treacherous will destroy them. Riches do not profit in the day of wrath, but righteousness delivers from death. The righteousness of the blameless will smooth his way, but the wicked will fall by his own wickedness. The righteousness of the upright will deliver them, but the treacherous will be caught by their own greed." Do you see how this begins and see how it ends, this section? Begins with a false balance, that's the old proverbial thumb on the scale, and ends with the word greed. And look what's in the middle. Integrity, falseness, profit. I think these six verses speak to the self-employed. I think there's a cohesive message in these six verses. And it's powerful. It's very powerful. Integrity in business. Integrity in business. If you're self-employed, this is for you. So still chapter 11, let's look at verse 15. He who is surety for a stranger will surely suffer for it, but he who hates going surety is safe. Well, that's the old word for cosigning. Yeah. The Bible speaks against cosigning. Yes, it does. There's many places where it does that. All right, same chapter, chapter 11. Jump down to verses 24 through 26. You ready? There is one who scatters, yet increases all the more. And there is one who withholds what is justly due, but it results only in want. The generous man will be prosperous, and he who waters will himself be watered. He who withholds grain, the people will curse him, but blessing will be on the head of him who sells it. Well, this is obvious. This is obvious. The theme here is plain. It's generosity. And that's part of what you do with your resources, your wealth, what you own, what you have. Scripture tells us again and again and again that we should be generous. In fact, Solomon did a really neat thing in Ecclesiastes. Ecclesiastes is the book right before Isaiah. It's after Proverbs and before Isaiah. And what he does in Ecclesiastes, in almost the end of the book, chapter 11, there's only 12 chapters in Ecclesiastes. In chapter 11, Solomon gives a 6-point sermon on generosity. It's great. It's really great. I would check that out if I were you. Ecclesiastes 11, verses 1 through 6, where he talks about giving. He talks about being generous. And he talks about not hoarding. He talks about not making excuses. He talks about looking out for opportunities. That's a really great thing to look up. But here we have in Proverbs the same theme. He's talking about the self-employed person who is going to cheat his customers. He touches on pride, integrity, riches. I think it's a great section for the self-employed. I really do. Well, let's jump over to chapter 12, and we'll actually see something we've already seen before under the heading of industry or stewardship. Chapter 12, verse 11. He who tills his land will have plenty of bread, but he who pursues vain things lacks sense. What is that? That's laziness again. You bet. Let's go over to 13, chapter 13, verse 4. And we're going to see something similar. 13:4, the soul of the sluggard craves and gets nothing, but the soul of the diligent is made fat. Once again, we're talking about laziness. Let's jump down to verse 7 of chapter 13. There is one who pretends to be rich but has nothing. Another pretends to be poor but has great wealth. We already saw that, remember? There is a physical security and there is a spiritual security in terms of resources and finances. So the Proverbs is being consistent here, all right? Verse 8 of chapter 13. The ransom of a man's life is his riches, but the poor hears no rebuke. Or in the New Living Translation, NLT, the poor is not even threatened. Do you see what he's saying there, Solomon? He's saying that wealth is okay. It can be righteous. It can be holy, done properly. But it does make you vulnerable. We know that. The more things you have, the more you have to guard them and put chains and locks and safety deposit boxes and, you know, security systems. And, you know, we have security systems now that hook up with your phone and all that kind of stuff. This is just it's a timeless idea. Way back in Solomon's day, you know, we're talking 900 BC. He's saying that the more you have, the more you have to worry about it. Okay. Still in chapter 13, let's go over to verse 21. And let's go through 23. 21 through 23. Adversity, chapter 13. Adversity pursues sinners, but the righteous will be rewarded with prosperity. A good man leaves an inheritance to his children's children, and the wealth of the sinner is stored up for the righteous. Abundant food, verse 23, is in the fallow ground of the poor, but it is swept away by injustice. How do you read that? How does it read to you? It reads to me that God provides. You know, there are people that say, oh, got to watch out for the population because the more people, the less there stuff is to go around, and that's why there's starving countries and, you know, all that. That's not true. When you say that God is not smart enough to provide for the earth's needs. And this passage refutes that notion. As you read this, what you get from this is God provides. God gives abundance. But it's man that messes it up. Let's read it again. Adversity pursues sinners, but the righteous will be rewarded with prosperity. A good man leaves inheritance to his children's children. The wealth of the sinner is stored up for the righteous. Abundant food is in the fallow ground of the poor, but it is swept away by injustice. God provides. God makes sure that we have enough. He does. But then man comes along and perverts it. Man comes along and either, you know, in a political way or in, you know, a totalitarian way or in crime or whatever, the balance is upset. Man upsets the balance that God has created. And that's a fact. And this passage speaks to that. Okay, that's going to be where we'll stop today. Next time we'll pick up with the other two themes that are to be found in chapters 10 through 13. And those will be righteousness, again, which is how man treats man, and then speech, which is pretty plain what that is. What you do with your mouth, both to the good and to the not so good. So stay tuned for that, and we'll come back and finish up all the way through chapter 13. In the meantime, thank you, by the way, for joining me in this. And again, I wish for you that you would believe God.